Open your Bibles now, please, to the book of Nehemiah, the 5th chapter. Nehemiah chapter 5 in your Scofield Bible, page 545. We'll be reading the first 7 verses of Nehemiah chapter 5. We'll read the verses responsively. Once again, page 545 in your Scofield Bible. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. There was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. For there were that said, "We, our sons and our daughters, are many. Therefore we take up corn for them, that they may eat and live." Some also there were that said, "We have mortgaged our lands, vineyards and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth." There were also that said, "We have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are brought unto bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards." And I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. And then the text verse, we'll read it together, verse 7. "Then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and said unto them, 'Ye exact usury, every one of his brother,' and I set a great assembly against them." And let's pray. And Father, how we thank you for your word. Give, we pray now, thy power, power to our preacher, power for us to hear, and power for us to be doers of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you will listen this morning, and if you will abide by what I'm going to give you about one thought. As you know, every time we have Lord's Supper, I get off to a late start in my preaching. And I always promise you, and I keep that promise, I mean 100% of the time, I will not be preaching past 12:10. I think I'll be finished before that, but I assure you before 12:10, I'll be finished preaching, and I assure you before 12:30, you'll be walking out those doors if you so choose. But I want you to listen to me. I usually on Lord's Supper Day give you one thought, but I promise you this. If you would abide with the thought I'm going to give you this morning, everybody in this room who's not a Christian would walk down this aisle and become a Christian today. Everybody. It's one thought. I promise you, if you'll abide by this one thought today, I promise you it'll transform your life. You'll never drink another drop of alcoholic beverage. You'll never smoke another cigarette. You'll never attend another rock concert. I promise you that you'll never turn back. You'll never quit. You'll keep on and going. I promise you that you will be changed. Now, because I'm a good preacher, I've got one little line this morning from this story that will change your life completely. Father, bless these moments that we share together to our edification, our transformation, and in some cases to our regeneration. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen very, very carefully and look right this way. The great man, one of the most underrated men in all the Bible, named Nehemiah, was leading the people in the rebuilding of the wall right after the temple that was rebuilt in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Listen to me. The people began to ridicule Nehemiah and the people of God. And as we said in our Sunday school lesson this morning, they ridiculed so much. Boys and girls, now put your Bibles, everything down your laps. Now look at me, boys and girls. Honey, look at me. Everybody, right this way. I want every child to listen this morning. I mean, really, this sermon would be a good sermon just for children or just for teenagers. So I want to help you. That's why I'm alive, and I don't have many years left to help you. And I want to help you. They ridiculed, made fun of these Jews building this wall around the city. They said even a fox could go up, get back and run and hit that wall and knock it down. They kept on building the wall. Then the enemy came and they got mad, angry, and criticized. And yet the people, Nehemiah and the people, kept on building the wall. Then they sent letters, letters of accusation and scandal out about Nehemiah and the people in an effort to get them to stop building the wall. But they kept on building the wall. Rumors were spread then about Nehemiah and about the people. Wicked lies were told, trying to get them to quit building the wall. But they kept on building the wall. Then, as I said this morning in my Sunday school lesson, the king made a decree, or government interference, if you please. And that was in an effort to keep them from building the wall. Then they, as I said a while ago, they sent letters out. Now, the people got discouraged. Are you listening? They got discouraged. They got tired. There was so much rubbish there to clean up. They got weary of having to clean up all the rubbish. They said, we've mortgaged our land for all this. And look what we have. Enemies, rumors, nasty letters, discouragement, enemies, battles, mockings. Look what we have. They said, we even borrowed money. We borrowed money to pay our taxes. And we are in debt. Our houses and lands are mortgaged. Nehemiah got discouraged. Listen to me carefully. He got discouraged. He considered, like everybody in this room today, he considered doing what he shouldn't do. Now, the Bible says, Nehemiah says, and I just read it to you. Nehemiah said, I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words, and here's my text. Then I consulted with myself. I consulted with myself. Now, when you have a decision to make, it's a good idea to consult with somebody wise. When you have a decision to make, it's a good idea to seek counsel from those that have been through where you are now and been experienced. But there comes a time in your life when there's nobody to talk to. There comes a time in your life when the person you need to ask counsel, of which you need to ask counsel, is not available. There comes a time in your life when you've got to go into the room and close the door and counsel with yourself. Listen to me. Listen to me. That means this. Nehemiah said, I made an appointment with myself. I sat down and told myself my problem and asked myself. Now, by the way, if anybody in this room this morning will counsel with yourself, you won't go to hell when you die. You'll trust Jesus as your Savior. If you'll sit down right now and counsel with yourself and talk to yourself and reason with yourself and realize there's a heaven, there's a hell, and Jesus is the difference, you'll come and trust Christ as your Savior today. But the trouble with America, we don't want to counsel with ourselves. We don't want to think about it. We want to cast it out of our minds. Let our flesh decide for us what to do. Let our appetites decide what to do. It's time that American people decided to counsel with themselves about what we ought to do. It means making an appointment with yourself. Seek counsel. Nehemiah said, I made an appointment with myself. I sought counsel from myself. I asked advice of myself. Now, listen carefully. What should you ask yourself when you come for counsel? And by the way, I'm willing to counsel with you. I spend much of my life doing it. But most of you wouldn't need to because you know what to do before you come in if you'll counsel with yourself. You know what I'm going to say before you come in. And you know what you ought to do before you come in. Every woman in this house knows you ought to be a decent wife to your husband. You don't need to come in my office and let me tell you, you ought to be a decent wife to your husband. Every man here knows you ought to love your wife. You don't have to come in and ask my counsel about whether to beat your wife or not, or cuss your wife or not, or be unkind to your wife or not. Everybody, every teenager in this room, you don't need to come to my office about your grades. You know what to do. Counsel with yourself. You know what to do. I'm simply saying, sit down, make an appointment with yourself, and seek counsel and seek advice from yourself. Number one, by the way, everybody in this room who's tempted to take a drink would not take it if you'd counsel, if you'd consult yourself. Every time you put a cigarette between your fingers and raise that cigarette towards your lips, you wouldn't do it if you'd consult. Ask yourself, self, what's this going to do to me? And self will say it causes cancer, but you don't think about that. You like to dismiss it from your mind until the doctor says your lungs have cancer. I was out in O'Hara Field. I think his name was Bruner? Yul Brynner. Was a famous, remember that slick-haired head movie star? Died with with cancer of the lung. Not many days before he died, I saw him at O'Hara Field in a wheelchair. That man would not have been in that wheelchair if he had consulted with himself. You young people tempted to take some dope. Before you do it, make an appointment with yourself and consult with yourself. What will this do to me? Ask yourself. You're tempted to take a drink. Consult with yourself. You're tempted to give up your standards. Consult with yourself. You're tempted to go to a rock concert. Consult with yourself. And nobody who consults with himself and who's honest with himself will go to one of those sorry, satanic rock concerts. If you won't listen to me, listen to yourself. Nobody in this room would ever quit. Never turn back. Never a college student would go home, wash out, and be a quitter. Yellow spine, cowardly quitter. If you'd consult with yourself. When you attempt, when you're going to get married, ask yourself if she's the one you ought to marry. Ask yourself if he's the one you ought to marry. Nehemiah said, I'm discouraged. My people are discouraged. They're defeated. All kinds of enemies and rumors and dirty and nasty letters. And he said, we're tired. We're discouraged. We've mortgaged our houses. We've borrowed money. And this rubbish is piling up beside us. And nobody's trying to help us. And folks are trying to thwart us and stop us. Nehemiah said, I just decided to consult with myself. And so I made an appointment with myself. Most of you never make appointments with yourself. So he made an appointment to be alone and sat down and looked at the square in the eye and said, self, what should I do? And his self said, you came to build a wall, didn't you? Yes, I did. His self said, it's wrong to quit, isn't it? Yes, it is. And his self said, then don't let discouragement stop you. Don't let the gossip stop you. Don't let scandal stop you. Don't let the job stop you. Don't let weariness stop you. And Nehemiah said, okay, self, I'll obey you. And if you look in, I'll read you what he said. He said, then I consulted with myself, and the next line says, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers and said to them, ye exact usury every one of his brother, and I set a great assembly against them, and I said to them, we after our building have redeemed our brethren from the Jews which were sold unto the heathen, and will ye sell your brethren, or shall they be sold unto us? And Nehemiah said, after he talked to himself, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to turn back. I'm not going to give up my principles. I am going to keep going. Why? I consulted with myself. Now, as you talk to yourself, in this little private appointment you ought to have, first thing you ought to ask yourself is, self, what are my principles? What are my principles? You shouldn't have to make decisions. Your principles ought to make your decisions for you. I decided when I was a boy there'd never be a cigarette between those fingers. There never has been. They've all been between these fingers over here. I decided a cigarette would not go in these lips. I'm 68 years old. Never has been a cigarette in these lips. Why? Because I made some principles back the other when I was a boy. I didn't have to decide every time anybody offered me a cigarette whether to take it or not. That was decided years ago. I didn't have to decide when somebody offered me a drink. We won the championship at Fort Benning, Georgia, and I was the all-star softball pitcher. And at the victory celebration, they gave me some whiskey, and I wouldn't drink it. They tiptoed back in the back and put some whiskey in a Coca-Cola bottle and said, "Jack, drink a Coca-Cola." I pulled it to my lips. I smelled the liquor, and I wouldn't drink it. They got me down on my back, and those big old men tried to pour that liquor down my throat. I pushed them away and held them off. Why? Because I decided years ago there would never be a taste of beer or wine or whiskey or any kind of alcoholic beverage come through these lips. I consulted with myself. It's an old story, but I made five decisions in my ministry years ago. When I consult with myself, I ask myself, what are my principles? I promise you, God, years ago, money would never be an issue in my ministry, and you've helped me keep that. I promised God years ago that nobody would ever meddle with my preaching. As you know, when I came here, some of the deacons got together and said, "The deacons don't like your preaching." We have new deacons now. I chose deacons that like my preaching. They said, "The deacons like to have a meeting with you about your preaching." I said, they said, "Could we have a meeting about your preaching?" I said, "Sure." They said, "Would the Francis Sunday School class be okay?" I said, "That's good." They said, "Would 7 o'clock Monday night, that's tomorrow night, be okay?" I said, "That's a good time." They said, "Okay, let's say now. We're going to have a meeting about your preaching at 7 o'clock tomorrow night in the Francis classroom." I said, "Sure." Now, 7:30 that night, Monday night, the deacon chairman called me. And not the one we have now. He called me on the phone. He said, "Where are you?" I said, "Where do you think I am? I answered the phone, didn't I?" "Who'd you call?" "No," he said, "you said we could have a meeting tonight about your preaching." I said, "You can. You can have one every night, but I'll not be there. Because it's no deacon's business what I preach." You say, "Brother Hiles, boy, that was a tough decision to make." Didn't make it. It was made years ago when I decided as a young preacher nobody would meddle with my preaching. I decided years ago that I would base my decisions on right and wrong. The fourth thing I decided was to be loyal to principles and not institutions. The fifth thing I decided was to be a friend to my friends. Now all I've got to do, ladies and gentlemen, is when I face a decision, consult with myself. And say, "Self, what are your principles?" And myself says to me, "You know what they are. You'll not have money as an issue. Nobody will mess with your preaching. You'll make your decisions on the basis of, is it right or wrong? You'll be loyal to principles and not to institutions. You'll be a friend to your friend." And I want to say this morning, ladies and gentlemen, why don't you get some principles that'll guide your life? Just decide every time a boy decides to make out with you, you'll take your high-heeled shoe and clobber him in the eyeball with it. You don't have to make decisions if you will consult with yourself and make some decisions and principles by which you'll make they'll make your decisions for you. I consulted with myself. Nehemiah said, "I faced this matter of discouragement and defeat and antagonism and hatred and fighting and conspiracy and dirty letters and accusations and scandals and gossip and rumors. Our homes were mortgaged. Our land was mortgaged. We're way in debt. Shall I quit or shall I go on?" Nehemiah said, "I consulted with myself." Then he said, "Then I say this. Consult with yourself and ask yourself, what are my principles?" Number two, ask yourself, and I love this, ask yourself, "Who am I? Who am I?" My mother used to teach me, "Your name is Jack Hiles." And she said, "A Hiles doesn't quit. And a Hiles doesn't bow. And a Hiles doesn't turn back. And a Hiles doesn't let the popular crowd decide what he does." Ask yourself, "Who am I?" Nehemiah, as he thought about this thing, about whether or not to turn back and to run or to flee,
Nehemiah asked a question I think everybody in the world ought to ask. He said, should such a man as I flee? Cowards flee. He said, I'm no coward. He consulted with himself. Ever one of you young ladies out yonder in Lover's Lane giving your body to the wicked hands of some lustful a man with physical appetites beyond the limits, every one of you that gives in, you wouldn't do that if you'd consult with yourself. Every one young person that somebody gives you a little dope to drink, to take, and you want to know how it feels to take a trip. You're going to take a trip, go to Niagara Falls. But you wouldn't do that if you'd consult with yourself. You know what? I am proud to be Jack Hiles. Very proud. Now, brother, I'll tell you what, everybody doesn't like that. I walk in a place. The other day I walked into buildings I'd never been in. As I walked out, I heard one lady say to the other, that's him. I turned right around and walked back in and said, yes, I am he. My name is Jack Hiles. I'm pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And Nehemiah said, my name is Nehemiah. And Nehemiah said, I consulted with myself. I sat down and looked at myself and talked to myself and asked myself for advice. And Nehemiah said, shall such a man as I flee? Shall such a man as I take a drink? Shall such a man as I succumb? Shall such a man as I quit? Shall such a man as I turn back? Shall such a man as I not continue fighting and building this wall? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, sit down and consult with yourself and realize who you are. You mention the name Jack Hiles and somebody will say nut. Somebody will say fanatic. Somebody will say screwball. Somebody will say, religious fanatic. But I'll tell you what they won't say. They won't say coward. No, they won't. My enemies won't say coward. You know why? Because my name is Jack Hiles. Boy, look in the mirror and consult with yourself. And realize who you are. Number three. Not only what are my principles that I consult with myself and what I am and who I am, but number three, I want to consult with my inner self. My inner self. All you do is consult with your appetites. You call up your appetite and say, could I have an appointment, please? Have a tingle in a gland. I want to have an appointment. Have that tingle cared for. You consult with your lust. Consult with your own desires. Nehemiah said, I consulted not with my appetites and my fleshly desires. I went down and consulted with a guy that lives way down in here, and that guy told me not to turn back, and so will your guy tell you not to turn back. I consulted with myself. And then number four, ask yourself, can you live with this? What will you think of yourself, self, after this is done? Boy, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, but I've never turned back. Nobody's ever chased me off. Nobody's ever run me off. Nobody's ever scared me off. I've been scared, but I haven't been scared off. You know why? I got to shave myself. I've got to look in that mirror every morning and two or three times a day, and I've got to shave myself. And I ask myself, can you live with this? I say, self, could I make an appointment with you, please? And myself says, yes, you may. We make the appointment. I say, self, I need some counsel. I need to know what I should do. And myself looks at me and says, okay, can you live with your decision in the future? How are you going to feel about it when you get home and realize you quit? How are you going to feel about it when you turn back? How are you going to feel about it? I got a letter today from a lady. Opened this morning. I'm sorry, last night I read it. And she said, I know I did wrong. She didn't have a consultation with herself. I know I did wrong, but I had to do wrong. Your inner self. Can I live with this? Self, if I do this, what will you think of me? Oh, I love that. I don't think I'm a proud person. It's not easy to not be proud. When you're as cute as I am, it's hard to be humble. With a physique like this, it's tough to be humble. But you know what? Please don't misunderstand me. Everything I've ever done, He's done it through me. Everything I am, He's made me whatever I am that's good. Every victory I've ever won, it's been Christ in me, the hope of glory. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. When I walk up to the mirror every morning and look in the mirror at 8232 Greenwood, Munster, Indiana, and I look at that guy in there, I like him. He looks back at me and says, you never did quit, did you? And I said, no. He said, you fought some battles, have you? I said, yes. He said, you've been through some tough times, have you? I said, yes, I have. He said, but you never quit. And myself looks back at me from the mirror and says, I'm proud of you. You sort of cocky. Call it what you want to call it. But the folks that call me cocky are people that can't say the same thing. You don't like yourself, so you don't like anybody to like themselves. Nehemiah said, I've got a battle here. My people discouraged. The hordes of hell are trying to keep me from building this wall. I've got a decision to make. So I called up myself, made an appointment with myself. I consulted myself. I got counsel from myself. I got advice from myself. And I'll guarantee you, you won't have to go to anybody for advice if you will consult with yourself, because everybody in this room knows that drinking liquor is wrong. And everybody in this room knows that smoking cigarettes is wrong. I don't care who you are. If you've got the IQ of a nanny goat, you know that rock music is wrong. And you know it came out of hell. And you know what's right and what's wrong. And everybody here knows you shouldn't quit. Keep on going. Keep on going. Don't turn back. Don't turn back. You know it. All you got to do is make an appointment with yourself and talk to your inner self. And your inner self will say, how are you going to feel about me when you do this? Can I live with this? And ask yourself again, what will this do to me? What will this do to me? Listen to me, fellas. What will this do to me? We have the idea that everybody else can get lung cancer but us. But the reason we have that idea is we don't take time to consult with ourselves. We have the idea that everybody can get liver cancer from drinking whiskey but us. We have an idea that everybody can get AIDS but us. We have an idea it can't happen to us. You know why? We know. You've heard people, I knew better. Okay, if you knew better, why didn't you ask yourself what to do? You didn't ask yourself. I'll not belabor you with 100 personal experiences except to just give a line or two about them. When that young lady offered me a drink of whiskey along with two other couples in front of the Texas Theater in Dallas, Texas, and I held for the only time in my life a bottle of whiskey in my hands, the reason I did not take a drop of that whiskey is because I consulted with myself. How am I going to feel tomorrow morning? When I was pitcher playing for this championship, Texas championship softball, we always played our games on weeknights, and our championship game was on a Sunday afternoon. Sunday night. I was the only pitcher our team had. And I faced the decision whether or not to pitch softball that night in the championship game or go to church. When I went to church that night, the entire softball team, and I was only 17, 18 years of age, these guys were all 25, 20, 25, 30 years of age. when the entire softball team was sitting out in front of the church in their uniforms saying, "Jack, you're a traitor. You're a traitor." "You're the only pitcher we got. We haven't got a chance." And they got beat 10 to nothing. Said, "You're the only pitcher we got. The only chance we've got to win the championship is you. You're a traitor." And they cursed me as I walked up the steps of the Hillcrest Baptist Church. He said, "Brother Hiles, how in the world did you keep from going and pitching that championship game?" I'll tell you exactly how. I consulted with myself. And you can call this what you want to call it, but when Jack Hiles walked in as a teenage lad and sat down beside his mama in church, myself looked at me and said, "I'm proud of you." I consulted with myself. When they told me that I couldn't be a Southern Baptist if I didn't give money to support schools that don't believe this Bible, my decision was made to not give a dime to a school that doesn't believe this book. And I stood because I consulted with myself. We came to Hammond years ago, 35 years ago and more. Church was American Baptist. I had a chance to have a new start. I was courted by wealthy people, courted by the denominational leaders of the state, because our church even then was one of the biggest churches in the state. I had to face a decision. Am I going to be a respected member pastor of a wealthy downtown church? Am I going to be the respected pastor of a big American Baptist church and be and belong to the local ministerial association? Where this church used to have the ministerial association Thanksgiving services in this building, our church building. They had a sunrise Easter service, ecumenical Easter service, in First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And my predecessor at one time was the president of the local ministerial association. And I had a chance to be somebody for the first time in my life. I'd always been the nut across the tracks. Now I've got a chance to pastor a church with some affluency, some money, some prestige. And it was tempting. But I called up myself and said, "You busy?" And myself said, "I've always got time for you, son." I said, "Self, could I have a talk with you?" Myself said, "You set the time." I said, "I'll be there," and told him what time I'd be there. And I sat down and I asked myself, "What are my principles?" And myself told me what they were. As a boy, remember, Jack? Out in the woods in East Texas, you made those five decisions. Yeah, I remember that. You know what to do. Rich man gave you $9,000, didn't he? Back when $9,000 was $50,000 now. Just to put $9,000 worth of drapes in your parsonage. He sent your predecessor on a one-month vacation cruise every summer. I said, "Self, what do you think about that?" Self said, "Remember that decision you made back yonder years ago that money wouldn't be an issue in your ministry?" Every decision Listen, I have no pastor. Where do I go? I can't pick up the phone and say, "Preacher, could I make an appointment? I got to see you." Where do I go? I go to the same person you go to, Jack Hiles. I make an appointment with myself. And myself knows what to do, and by cracky, so does yourself know what to do. I came here. John Rice was the most unpopular preacher in America, but he was my best friend. This church, 90% of this church either didn't know him or hated him. The American Baptist influence in this church hated his guts. I'm sorry, his intestines and some of his guts. Now, I've always had John Rice in my church once a year, I said. But if I have him now, I may lose this church. I'll lose the money of this church if I have John Rice here to speak. Self, this is Jack Hiles. Can I talk to you? Self said, "Remember the decisions you made back yonder?"
How are you going to feel after you quit having John Rice? I consulted with myself, picked up the phone, called John Rice, and asked him to come and speak at the first Bible conference we had in this church. The missions conference. Missions committee came and said, we're supposed to choose the speakers. I said, I'll fight you to the death before you'll decide who preaches behind my pulpit. Finance committee came and said, you're going to take an offering, aren't you? We didn't give you permission. I said, since when do I get permission from finance committee to take an offering? He said, Brother Hines, who gave you all that advice? I did. Now, I got to quit in less than a minute. Listen to me. You know what's right and wrong. You just never check with yourself to find out. You know what you're supposed to do. You know as much as I do what's right and what's wrong. But the trouble is, you will not look at yourself. You'll walk right by yourself without looking at yourself because you know what yourself is going to say. And everybody in this room this morning is not saved. If you'll just consult with yourself and ask yourself, what's going to happen to me if I don't trust the Savior? And yourself will say you're going to split hell wide open. And yourself will say you realize you can go to heaven if you'll trust Jesus. You ought to do it. Consult with yourself and you'll run down this aisle and you'll say, yes, it's time I became a child of God. I ask you in every decision of your life, I ask you to do what Nehemiah did. Consult with yourself. Our Heavenly Father is 12:10. And I've kept my promise. I had some more things I wanted to say. And I wanted to say some things I've already said over again. But I pray today you'd speak to the hearts of a lot of people. And may we have enough sense to consult ourselves. Our heads are bowed. No one is...